Hello, and welcome to The Slow Revolution, the podcast where we explore the pros and cons of slowing down in a fast and impatient world. My name is Carl Honoré, I'm your host, and today my guest is Petter Nebby, the CEO and founder of Punkt.
Of Punkt, yeah.
An amazing company which designs, according to its website, thoughtful electronics, or gadgets that help us to live in the moment or slow down. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Maybe you could talk me through the genesis of Punkt. I mean, tell me a little bit about how you came to the idea of setting up your company and what the whole philosophy behind it is.
It was very simple, actually. I needed an alarm clock. The alarm clock actually is the strongest symbol of what I think Punkt is about. It's about we are modern people. We need certain instruments around us. We need to wake up in the morning. But we also need not to have too much of those around us. So I contacted Jasper and told him that, can you build me the most beautiful alarm clock? And that's how it sort of started. And a little bit wobbly as we went, took a long time just to find a manufacturer who could manufacture such a thing. In the modern world, it's even, you know, we are a Swiss company. One would expect that you could easily produce such a thing in Switzerland, but it's impossible.
Especially a clock.
Yeah. So that was a long journey, and that's how we started. And around that time, also my stepdaughter lived at home, and she was very much a teenager, a late teenager, and it was a part of that seeing how the smartphone interrupted her life, so to say, or her being able to go deeply into materials that are important, whether it's eating, sleeping, thinking, being bored.
Let's talk about the phone, because that's really why you're here, isn't it? We're in a hotel in London, you're doing a bit of a pre-tour and to launch this new mobile phone, because you've got the alarm clock, which is sitting around the table beside us. You've got also a landline phone that you've designed and sell. You have the chargers and so on, but the next big step for you is a mobile phone, which is also on the table in front of us. Maybe you could tell me what it's called and walk me through how it works and how it fits into your Punkt revolution.
Shall we switch it on?
Yeah, I think. Normally I ask people to have phones off, but I'll make a special exception this time. Wow.
That was a little bird.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a little bit of bird song.
Yeah. You have contacts, you can send SMS, you can transfer your contacts from your smartphone or your computer to your phone. But that's pretty much it.
So there's no internet, there's no email?
No, this is a GSM quad band, so it's beautiful because there's no data coming into here.
Okay.
Beautiful because also, we're talking about 4 weeks of standby battery time, almost 300 minutes of talk time.
As an iPhone user, I feel myself swelling up with envy at those numbers.
So when you travel, you don't even bring the charger with you because it's okay. Mm. So
it's also beautifully small and compact, isn't it? It's very much like the old phones, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got an iPhone 6, which just I've had it for a while now, but it feels like a tablet.
It's a computer.
Whereas this is gloriously
it's compact, made, yeah, it's
isn't
certainly
it?
Yeah. It's made for making conversations. Mm-hmm. So it's really about everything we do, we touch, we don't just put a little layer on top and put a logo. We really do everything. So that means that the whole UI we have designed ourselves, all the sounds we have inspired from the bird life.
They're all bird song.
They're
bird
all
chirpings.
Most of them are naturally bird songs, but they're also just tweaked to be less bird songs. For instance, when you live in Florence, the bird song ringtone doesn't work that well because there are so many other birds singing.
Right.
So it won't alert you. So you need sort of this more synthetic alert sound as well. So basically the basic is that birdsong is the inspiration. So the loops, the rhythm of different birdsongs are sort of the basis of the sounds.
Let's talk about the sound quality, because I think that's something else that you put a lot of effort and investment into was the sound quality for speaking.
It's speaking and also hands-free, actually, because we have this loudspeaker on the back, and that's why it's also designed that way. So when it sits on the table, the loudspeaker will resonance with the table and be even grander, yeah? Mm-hmm. So, of course, it's a... But since it's a mobile phone, you can do a lot of, let's say, the components, that is the speaker and the microphone, and you can get the best in the world and you can tune it the absolute, but of course still you are in the hands of the network. Mm-hmm. The nice thing, however, is that since it's a GSM network, the network is very, very good.
So do you notice a difference in sound quality between the...
What's
the name of the phone? You haven't said.
MP01. Yeah. Mobile phone 01.
Right. Even a beautifully simple name. As
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a beta sample. Yeah. As you know, we will launch and go in September. This is a fully work. I've been using this for almost a month now. The sound I'm not really happy yet with this how it sounds. As I heard it. Sitting not inside of the casing and the quality has been very good. So the tuning is still to be completed, which is all a natural process of where we are.
So you're still tweaking the inside of the phone,
right? Yes, the fine tuning. But the network and antenna is incredible because I know exactly in my house, for instance, I live in a house with made out of bricks, and there will be areas where there's no network at all, but where this one actually works because the GSM network spreads broader than the data, so the network or the data just falls off very quickly. Meanwhile, the GSM network actually goes very wide. Mm-hmm. So those are also those qualities, and the quality, the width of the GSM network for voice is I would call it warmer. Someone said it's better quality. I can't sort of claim that, but there's a more warmth in the GSM network than it's more the data is a little bit colder sounding in itself. So. There are many layers which is out of our control, obviously, because you depend on...
You're riding on someone else's
network. Yeah. But so the basic here is the top of the shelf kind of components for sound, and that's part of it, yeah.
And you're hoping that because there's better sound, people might fall back into the... Maybe the dying art of conversation, because people text now, mostly.
No, but this is the thing, I think most of all, this is... This is about getting the conversation back. Perfect role, maybe you should be more off than we actually are. So, point we are trying to bridge and be in between, trying to give you at least opportunity to be a little bit more off than you would be. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's talk more at least, because that's one of those elements that is really dangerous, I think, in the current situation, is that we are dealing with ourselves as if we are a brand name, and we are controlling the imagery of us through this control panel called a smartphone. And so the way we message, we can think about that, it's all impulsiveness any longer. The best photo, you will sit there, little angle. Mm-hmm. So all the brute and the wrongs are not ever there because you're controlling yourself versus the outside world. Even with your friends, people are so... competing in saying the smartest or et cetera, so the point here is that if everything goes there, we sort of lose the experience of being exposed as a human being.
Of unfiltered communication.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So if you are in a conversation, whether it's through as ours now or through the phone, you're actually exposed. So if your wife would send you an SMS saying, I love you, on the scale from 0 to 10, that would probably pop at 1.5. Mm. But if she actually called you, and you could, because then all your sensories out there, you think much, you use more senses than you actually ever would think, you probably even can sometimes even arrive at 10 out of 10, because it's a phone call, it's a conversation, you hear her voice, she really means it. It's true. Mm. It really touches you. you're not touched by I love you message, I miss you message. you know, so this, but it's also very scary in a way because it also exposes you. So if you use that same analogy, saying okay, but if she calls you, but you can sense that something is wrong, but she says that she loves you. That's very, you know, no one calls any longer. It's only if it's really good news or even really bad news. So that's a current sort of mindset or a conversation, which is a little bit sad. And I think, you know, I think one should have that conversation more, whether it's with your wife or your friend. For instance, you know, when did you call your friend? Because now you just text them and, nice, I miss, you know, cool if we can meet on Thursday, etc. But did you call him, you know, how are you? People don't do that any longer.
Yeah, maybe they will more now.
I hope.
What is your target market then in that case? And how will you present this phone to the market? Will you come with that discourse? Will you say we've lost the art of conversation and talk about how it will be exposing, how it might be uncomfortable?
Taking back the conversation. Mm-hmm. It's part of the sort of one of the layers around. Or it is truly is about that. Yeah, taking back conversation is important.
Who are you aiming at? Who do you think will be the first wave of buyers?
People like me. People like me that used to have a Nokia that wasn't, you used it because it is an instrument. You would like this much more because here everything is thought of, really with the view of aesthetics and function. And that appreciation are people, you know, they are of different layers of the society in general. But of course, 35 plus, people tend to have a little bit extra surplus that are buy our products because they have the ability to put money into softer values than just fastest chipset, etc. But the funny thing is that once we, so 35 plus, it's quite kind of people that probably have been using, as I mentioned, this kind of phone before. But the funny part is that the young men who has come to me when we launched the mobile, the fixed line phone, actually asked me if why can't I do a simple mobile phone?
More men than women.
Yes, well, can be just a casual thing, but they came to me, and there were several of them during that event in London. No, that was in Paris, actually, in January 2012. And there were men coming and just asking, could you not make such a concept into a mobile phone, because that's what I want to have. And they were young, and they were sort of early 20s, and I was sort of surprised, because I thought they were sort of eaten by the smartphone kind of life. But yeah, it seems then, when you start to look at it, there are quite many of these, that generation that has felt on the skin the nasty element of being always on, whether their friend has been hung out in social media, or they couldn't sleep because they got hooked on having these kind of continuous messages as they went to sleep. You know, so they truly have felt it on the skin, and by that physical memory of something physical happen, you have a stronger sense of wanting to change, probably, as a human being. Mm. And so maybe there's more hope, or there's no more promising that generation than I thought in the originally. That they have this, you know, if you have been burnt, you remember not to go too close to the fire. So there's something there. So there's someone very more conscious about this out there, younger than I set out to do punkt four, so to say, because, as again, I did it for myself. I wanted
That's
those instruments.
Because that doesn't surprise me, because I've discovered that as well, that I had the same notion, and I think it's a misconception that the millennial 20-something generation are lost, that they are completely lost to a world of a million apps and always on, and I don't think that's actually true. I think more and more they are waking up to the folly of being always on, and I don't know, have you heard of this ritual called stacking that is very popular among kind of late teens and early 20-somethings, and what it is when they go out for dinner or sushi or a coffee or whatever, everybody piles up their phone in the middle of the table in a stack, and whoever reaches for the phone first to look at Instagram or send a Snapchat pays the bill for everybody at the table, right? And it's just a nifty little way of saying, you know, we have this moment now, we will only have this moment once, why ruin it by worrying about Facebook or Twitter, and that's the young generation doing that. So I do think there's something basically human, there's a basic human need to be off sometimes and to have that gear change, to use social media when it makes sense to, and to have that kind of slightly superficial but exciting and thrilling, adrenaline-driven communication going on, but to have other slower forms of communication,
yes,
and quiet moments when all you're doing is talking and the only instrument moving between you is the rich human voice, which is in a way what the MP-01
yes
is all about, I guess.
Absolutely.
Isn't it bringing...
Yeah. What I see actually now is that I'm more worried of our generation, because it's almost like we haven't gotten it, we hadn't experienced it early enough. So we got caught a little bit, and we think we are very good. You know, we think we are, we know what it used to be, so we know a little bit. But what you actually do see is that a lot, for instance, people, they have children. They sit at the playground and they're more busy with their smartphones than actually with their own children. So the younger generation, probably they have experienced or heard so much about how bad being always on is. So if you really have felt it, you will have to have a more conscious thought about how you should use it. Meanwhile, us, we probably haven't really felt the problems truly on our skin, and therefore we just continue to just sort of slide off into that sort of...
Without even being aware, maybe.
Exactly,
of it,
yeah.
I certainly see that with my own mother, who's in her 70s, and she just is constantly on her iPad playing Scrabble or emailing or something. And, you know, we get to the stage where I'm telling her, my children are telling her to, you know, put it down and something. So it does, this is not a kind of... It's all in one generation. It's very complex and nuanced, I think.
Yeah.
Different generations are grappling in different ways with it.
Analogy is sort of, after, you know, the generation after the war, when suddenly they had something to eat or could go to the shop and buy even apples and pears. They could, you know, maybe they had a lot of that because there was a scarcity earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they had too much. And then the candies came and they got fat and ugly.
Well, it is. I definitely think of it as a parallel, the metaphor is there with obesity, isn't it? That we're built for a world of feast and famine. So there are times when you can eat, and when you eat a lot, and you store the fat for those times when there's no food. And that doesn't work in a world of Krispy Kreme donuts, you know, 1 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, does it?
Yeah,
it's the same with the communication, that we're hardwired for those social connections.
Yeah.
And then when you can get them constantly on a drip feed from Facebook, from Instagram, from WhatsApp, we don't know when to switch off. So we end up gorging and ending up with the kind of communication obesity.
Sims
it away.
I never heard of that. I like that, communication obesity.
That's sort of what it feels like. It's that kind of overload, that sense of, and then not being able to stop because it is so pleasurable in the short term. You get that little injection of that little, almost that chemical thrill in the brain. It keeps you going.
It's like drugs. It's like a drip. It's like a drip. Constant drip.
It is. And in fact, drugs is another good metaphor, because I think in Germany recently they did a study where they took away mobile phones from university students and then wired them up and checked the reactions they had, and they had the same reactions to it that heroin addicts had during
withdrawal
symptoms, you know, heart palpitations, sweaty palms, all of that kind of thing.
Sure.
So it is an
addiction.
It's a kind of existential, cerebral, intellectual addiction, but it's also a chemical, bodily one, which is a really hard thing to unpick, it seems to me.
Yeah.
But one worth tackling, obviously, because addictions are not generally things we want to be espousing.
No, but the other element is really that, you know, you see, we do so many more things, but we do them so poorly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are masters of multitasking, but what do? We just touch the surface. We don't really do anything, do we? And that's incredible. You know, thinking about Jasper as a designer, Jasper Morrison, who designs most of our products, he also art directs Punkt. He is a true craftsman, which means that for 1 month, no, now it's 3 months, 3 weeks, he's off. No one will, you know, not even the Queen of England could ever reach him, because he needs to be off, because there's no way that he can make things and thoughtful things without, you know, being off and not being disturbed. But today, we are disturbed all of the time. All of the time. And we think that there's so many important things that are created here and there, but they're just surface scratching. You know, there's nothing really important happening anyway. You know, there's a new Apple phone with a new camera, you know, blah 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 blah. There's nothing really new. It's just new packaging, etc. And we are just being thinking we're so ex- and we're so excited, but we are just going 12 things at the same time. What about just, you know, going back and, you know, sit there and just do one thing?
Unitasking.
Yes.
Yeah. that's something I find myself talking about a lot, because, of course, multitasking is a myth. I mean, we know that the human brain can't think meaningfully about more than one thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Not even the female brain. I mean, that's, you know, what people are doing when they're multitasking is toggling back and forth. So 5 seconds here, 10 here. And that turns out to be just as sloppy and inefficient as it sounds.
And
it takes much longer to do the things you would have if you stopped, paused, done one thing well at a time. And also built in moments like your friend Jasper, the designer, for doing nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the magic of just being rather than doing. And we've become human doings, haven't we?
Mm.
It's just, and the technology allows us to fuel that
so
that we have the illusion of achieving a lot of things, when in fact what we're doing is just skimming the surface.
You know that the Romans had, for them it was very, very important, the timing of doing nothing. So that's when they would go deeply into some subject, they would go on a time off period where they would just, they would call it to do nothing period, where they just sat and watched, or whatever they did, they just sat and did nothing, just ate and did nothing. Doing nothing, there's no one doing nothing any longer. This kind of off time is so important. So one is to be exposed to situation that you can't control. The other is to sit off and go in and using your imagination, your creativity. Yeah. So these elements are, there's no robots, or there's no person that ever be able to program a robot doing those things, I believe. And let's ensure, you know, in the time of robotics worries about work, that, you know, let's make sure that we are exposing our children and ourselves to off time, which ignites the imagination. And that imagination, whether that is solving something in your existing work or triggers you wanting to do something else with your life, that's where the human factor comes in strong, and no one can replace you. So that off time is so important.
Bring back boredom is another way to think about it.
Yeah.
Not too much, but in the right dosage, boredom is a hugely powerful
it's
thing.
It's very important.
Yeah.
It's so important. And it's, you know, if you think of what this, you know, if you talk about detoxing and all of that, it's really, it should be really about just, can you just sit there for 3 days, do nothing?
Mm-hmm.
That's the detox, you know. No, of course, no one will sell you that, because it's not good for business.
Mm.
But what, you know, get a tent and sit there for 3 days and do nothing, that would be the perfect detox.
Don't just do something, sit there.
Sit there.
Which runs completely against the cultural moment.
Don't even read. Mm. Isn't it funny? You know, when children are, when they sit there and they have no tools whatsoever, when you take them out into the country, they start to study the ants, movements, you know, funny shapes of bits of trees that has fallen off, or the water habit, you know. You can, there are plenty of, let's say, entertaining elements around us. We don't see them. And they're much grander than any app that sits on a smartphone.
Let's wind up by talking about other gadgets that fit into this same space that Punkt is playing in at the moment. There are a lot of people who are inventing electronics that encourage us to slow down in different ways. So a couple of examples that have come across my radar recently are the slow gaming movement, or slow games movement, where video designers are creating games where you only make one move a day, for instance.
Oh, really?
another one is the decelerator helmet. I don't know if you've come across that. The decelerator helmet, you put it on your head, and it covers up your eyes and films everything around you, and you can push a button so that whatever you see around you is played back in slow motion, right? Just to create this disjunction, or this new way of, you know, playing with time and so on. And I brought along with me one today that I like very much. It's called a slow watch.
Yeah.
And I know you were looking at it before, but I'll let you pick it up now. The idea is that it has a 24-hour clock or face on it with, is 12 at the bottom? Or is it
0?
0 is at the bottom, 12 is at the top, so noon is at the top. And it only has one hand. So the idea, because you cannot count the minutes and the seconds, you savor them, you live them. So the idea is that you're less neurotic about the passage of time. You don't hear Time's winged chariot drawing near, quite so loudly as you do with the watch you're wearing.
Yeah.
I can see the second hand impatiently ticking away there.
Yeah.
But this, I like this very much. It also, it's a beautiful piece, but it seems to fit into that whole area that you're flexing your muscles in. Are there other people that you've come across that are doing similar things, either with watches or clocks or phones, that you admire?
Not in consumer electronics, I think. But things around craftsmanship, yeah, a lot. There's a lot of, you know, from furniture makers to watchmakers, that kind, there's much more there. It takes time to develop carefully thought out made products. It really takes a lot of time. So I'm used to it. I used to long sort of being pregnant for a long time. It's a ongoing thing. So, you know, you think here and other projects I'm working on. I even had a project that we finally today, it's probably the first time we really truly see that we can create that product that we've been working on for 3 years, even before arriving at the possibility of materializing it, which then will probably take another two and a half mm-hmm. years. So I'm used to it. So in a way, when I'm there in September, it's going to be a relief.
Right. Well, Petr Nevid, thank you very, very much. It's been a pleasure.
Nice meeting you. Thank you.